Hello and welcome to Soundcheck, a new program about issues, ideas, and people from Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, which we are trying on for size at this time. You can download Soundcheck as a podcast from our website, kcaw.org. I'm your host, Robert Woolsey. Herb Diedrichsen is a lifelong Sitka resident, regarded by many as one of the greatest basketball players ever produced in Alaska. He played for Sheldon Jackson High School during the World War II years in the mid-1940s against teams from the Army and Navy comprised of some of the best college players of the era. He went on to play at Sheldon Jackson Junior College, where he was widely recruited by the country's top universities. But he stayed in Sitka and played on the Alaska Native Brotherhood team, which dominated gold medal basketball in Southeast Alaska for the following decade. Diedrichsen is currently out of Sitka, receiving medical treatment. His friend, Gil Truitt, has nominated Diedrichsen for the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame for the third time. I asked Truitt to talk about Diedrichsen. We were joined by former Division I player and veteran college coach John Abel. Tell me about how you first got to know Herb Diedrichsen.
Well, we both grew up here in Sitka. He has about a year, maybe 2 years on me, age-wise. But I first met Herb when we were in what is now called, well, it was called beginners. That was probably before the first grade. It's much like some of the programs in education today, but that was before the first grade. That was the first time I saw Herb in the old BIA school, right just a few blocks from here, where the community building now sits.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known him a lifetime, and I really don't mind saying he's one of the finest persons you can ever meet, one of the most sincere and one of the most honest persons I have known, really honest.
When did it become apparent to you and your peers that Herb was an above-ordinary athlete?
Right from the very first time I met him. And when we had athletic teams at the old BIA school, Herb did not play in our group. He played with the older group because he's so much better than our group. And if we were playing baseball, what is Little League today, he was playing in the bigger group. Today that would probably be the American Legion. But he was outstanding in everything that he did, even as a young individual. And he had the ability in all sports, things that coaches try to teach, to Herb it came natural. He didn't have to work hard, but I never knew of anyone who worked harder in any sport than Herb. He was continually and constantly trying to improve himself as an athlete. And I don't mind saying that he was one of the finest sportsmanship players I've ever seen in any sport. It's difficult when you lose a game to go to the opposing dressing room and congratulate the other team. This is what Herb did. He was always congratulating the other team, whereas those of us who want to win so badly did not do those things. And over the years, I admired Herb for that. And he never had bad word to say about the opponent or his teammates. As a matter of fact, he never had anything bad to say about officials, even though sometimes officials were not doing the greatest job. But he never knocked any official. And I might mention that he became one of the finest referees in the state of Alaska.
I want to bring in someone into this conversation in case someone thinks that we have too strong a Sitka bias here about Herb Diedrichsen and his nomination into the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame. John Abel is joining us on the phone from Chico, California. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Good morning. Hey, it's really a privilege and actually an honor to be involved in this conversation.
John, you have an impressive background yourself. You're in the Chico Sports Hall of Fame, the California Community College Men's Hall. You were an assistant coach during the Olympics in Tokyo in 1964 for Thailand, but you rubbed elbows with Olympic stars at the time. And I gather that you're making a pretty sincere recommendation that Herb Diedrichsen belongs in a caliber of athlete that you have experienced in your coaching career.
you know, when I was at Oregon State, when I was a freshman, we played USF, where they had Bill Russell and Casey Jones and that crew, and we lost to them by 1 point. And the winner of that game was going to win the national championship. And then the next week, our coach, Slats Gilly, you know, he called me in and he said, you know, he says, John, man, have you ever seen anybody that could control a game like Casey Jones? And I responded. I said, Coach, to be honest with you, I've seen one better. And he looked at me. He said, you're kidding. I said, no, Coach, just from my perspective, I've seen one better, and that's Herb Diedrichsen, who lived in Sitka, Alaska. So I was at a coaching clinic. It was a few years, you know, after this event took place, and I can't remember the guy's name. I could just see his face, and he was an all-Pac-8 player, and he was talking about the experience he had. He says, I was up at this tournament, you know, the gold medal tournament. They paid my way up, and it was really a lot of fun. And he said, we played this team from a little team from Sitka, Alaska, called the A and B, and immediately my ears perked up, so I moved closer, and he says, you cannot believe what happened to me. And the guy said, well, what happened? He says, well, I was assigned to this guy, about 5'10", 5'10 and a half, and I don't know his name, and I spoke up. I says, I'm going to be intrusive here. I'll tell you his name. His name was Herb Diedrichsen. You're right, that's it. I said, how did you do when you guarded him? He says, I couldn't guard him. There's not a team in America, not a team in America that he wouldn't have started for as a guard. And I said that, you know, in 1997, the Sentinel interviewed me when I came up and about different things and I athletically and whatever. And I said, I said, you can put this in print. I said, I've seen worldwide athletes, worldwide basketball players, and it can be edged in stone that I never saw a basketball team at any level that Herb Diedrichsen couldn't have played for. As a point guard, Herb Diedrichsen was 40 years ahead of his time. Do you know that? Remember the House of David team?
Yes, I remember them.
Well, they came to play over at Mount Edgecombe, and they're a professional team, traveling team. A lot of them were college All-Americans, and they were jumping center. And the center for the House of David was a little over 6'9", and so everybody laughed. Herb went out to jump center with him. Herb's what, Gil, 5'10", 5'10 and a half max?
5'10".
Yeah. And who got the tip?
Herb did.
Herb got the tip. Then what did he go for, 40 or 42 points?
44.
44 points.
Yes.
I'll never forget him dribbling through them, pulling their beards, and laying the ball in. Then I played on that City League baseball team with Gil, who, by the way, was an outstanding infielder, and Herb played shortstop, and I played center field. It was really interesting that they had a House of David player stay up there all summer because he'd like to play baseball with us. Well, I know why he stayed up there all summer. He was trying to sign Herb, you know, but it didn't take place. Like I say, Gil has seen them all. He's been down, you know, seen the tournaments, and he's seen players, you know, some of the greatest in the country. And I've seen them, some of the greatest. They used to hold the NCAA regionals at Oregon State, and I saw those for many years. Then I saw the NCAA regional finals when John Wooden had his teams, and then I saw him in the Olympics. And hey, Herb was right there with the best of them, and it would be a shame that he wouldn't be inducted in the Alaska Hall of Fame.
This is Soundcheck, a program about issues, ideas, and people. Today I'm talking with Gil Truitt and John Abel about Herb Diedrichsen, who has been nominated to the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame for the third time. John, I wanted to ask you to elaborate on an idea, and Gil can chime in as well, because, you know, it's an old sports debate. Are we talking about an athlete who was just great in his era, or are we talking really about one of the greats, period?
That's a great question, because guys can sit down and talk and talk and talk. A lot of times it comes to your teammates, you know, what kind of teammates did you have? And that's the thing that made me think about Herb, not knocking his teammates, but he didn't have supporting cast that a lot of these great, great players had. And yet I watched him be able to control a game and get the ball to Moses Johnson, who could blow the net off. And then when you had to have a basket and it was on the line, he could get it. I look around and I see players now at the college level, and there's no doubt in my mind that he would have been able to play with any of them in today's game. And that's a big statement. I understand that.
What do you mean he was 40 years ahead of his time?
I watched him, and as I'd see point guards, and I'd see year after year, I would see things develop, and I'm thinking, my gosh, I saw Herb do that back in the 50s.
He was getting lob passes from Roger Lang. Today they call that the alley-oop pass. But Herb was getting those passes, tipping one hand, reaching up and just tipping it into the basket. And his elbow was even at the rim. He could jump so high. People ask that question, how can you compare athletes today with 50, 60 years ago? I've always answered that question, including with the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame. I've written answers to that question numerous times, that Herb would have been a star today because of the attributes that he had. Great quickness, quick hands, long arms. Talk about speed, jumping ability. And we talked about a month ago, and he said he was able, night witnesses, standing under the basket, he was able to jump and dunk the ball from a standing position under the basket. And he did mention that he bumped his elbow on the rim a few times. And despite all the great athletes who were here during World War II, Herb was still the best. We had Army, Navy, Marines, and Coast Guard. And those teams, some of them were great. Former college athletes, former All-Americans, especially the Navy teams that we saw play. But Herb out-rebounded, out-jumped all of those guys, and was able to tip in miss shots. His quickness is what would make him great today. I saw no one that had the quickness that Herb had. Quick hands and a fast first step. A lot of players, they misjudged Herb. So many times they tried to dribble past him, but before you knew it, Herb was going the other way with the ball. In high school, our coach met with us the night before we played the Sheldon Jackson Junior College and warned us about Herb. We, of course, knew about Herb, but our coach said, don't challenge him. If he comes at you, turn 180 degrees and pass the ball in that direction. So that's what we did. If he was coming after us, we didn't challenge him because his hands were so quick, his jumping ability. And the best part about Herb was his defensive abilities. He was as great on defense as he was on offense because of his speed and quick hands. Today, opponents of his 50, 60 years ago say he was a pest, just like a little gnat all over them, but not fouling. And his hands were so quick, he had the ball. Herb's Slinkett name is Junkatin, and old people told him the interpretation of that Slinkett word or name is quick or fast hands, and that really described Herb. He was without doubt the finest defensive player I have seen, and he made teammates look good. He was very unselfish. At Sheldon Jackson, he was averaging 25 and 30 points. When he started playing the A and B, that average dropped because he was helping others by making them look good, giving them good passes. And I saw no one who could penetrate the defense the way Herb did, dribble into the heart of the defense. And it's almost like he had eyes in the back of his head everywhere. He knew where his teammates were. And when he penetrated the keyhole, the defense picked him up and just surrounded him. But you saw Herb's arm come out, making a perfect pass to a teammate cutting to the basket. And one of the things I remember offensively, where he played the baseline, he could jump so high, his teammates would throw him the ball. He would jump and almost like hanging in the air with one hand, catch the ball. If the shot was there, he put it in the basket. If not, he flipped the ball to the center coming down the key. And if the center was not there, then he flipped the ball to Mo Johnson, who was all by himself. And like John Abel said, Mo Johnson was the best shooter that Alaska has seen.
John, this is something I wanted to ask you and Gil to reflect on a little bit. And I don't want you to speak for Herb necessarily, but I am curious, just as somebody who's coming to this relatively recently, why didn't somebody make Herb Diedrichsen an offer he couldn't refuse and get him out in NCAA basketball?
Personally, I thought Herb had a great life and his family, and he enjoyed where he was living. And remember, they didn't have, especially like professionally, hell, I knew Barnett. I think he got $4,200 for going from University of Oregon to the Warriors or whoever he played with. They didn't have the big bucks that they have now. And now, if they had seen Herb in today's market and said, Herb, you know, we'll give you X number of millions, you know, wouldn't surprise me at all if Herb would have said, you know, thank you, that's very, very generous, but I'm very happy where I live. I'm very happy with my friends here, and I don't want to give that up for money. And now maybe Gil can expound on that. Nobody knows Herb better than Gil.
Gil, let me ask you then, why, as a friend, do you believe that Herb Diedrichsen didn't go on to the greatness outside of the region that he seemed so well designed for?
Well, he and I asked him that question a good number of times. And I do know that just about every major basketball-playing university in the country offered him a scholarship. And the only thing he said, he was leaning towards the University of Washington. And, of course, many of us at that time were Washington fans, as we are today. But there was a good reason for that. Wally Leisk played at Sheldon Jackson. He was our hero. And I think that is the reason Herb leaned towards Washington. But why he did not accept any of the scholarships, he never did say. I did not pursue it. But I think one of the articles I sent to you by Steve Agababa said it perfectly. Herbie loved Alaska. He was happy here, and this is where he stayed. And John alluded to that. I think Herb just wanted to stay home.
Sitkin, Gil Truitt, and John Abel, a college basketball coach in Chico, California, are working to have Herb Diedrichsen named to the Alaska Sports Hall of Fame. Diedrichsen is widely regarded as one of the best basketball players ever produced in Alaska, but he chose not to go on to college or pro sports. You can vote for Diedrichsen online. Go to alaskasportshall.org and click on Cast Your Vote for the Class of 2013. Soundcheck is a new program about issues, ideas, and people from Raven Radio, KCAW, and Sitka, which we are testing in this time slot. If you'd like to comment on the program, visit Soundcheck at our website, kcaw.org, where you can also download today's program as a podcast. I'm Robert Woolsey. Thanks for listening in on Soundcheck.